Listo.
3. One, two, three. Hallelujah! All right. We'll start at number 12. And a word of prayer. Hallelujah. If we be in an attitude of prayer, our brother Michael Comfort is going to offer a word of prayer for us. If we could
bow our hearts.
Bow our heads, please.
Father Yahweh, great and glorious El, you say that if we don't keep the feast, we will not get any rain, and we receive rain today, and we thank you, Father Yahweh. We hope that's a sign from you that we're pleasing, doing things pleasing to you. And if we're not, Father Yahweh, please bring those things that are not pleasing to you to our hearts so that we can confess them and repent of them and turn from them. We thank you for this beautiful, thank you for the rain that you've given us. And thank you for the cool weather. It's refreshing for those of us from the areas of the country that had a hot, very hot and dry summer. Is so refreshing. We thank you for it. We thank you for this day that we can come before you, Father, and worship you and learn from your wonderful word. Help us to take it in. Bless our ears and our hearing, and bless the lips of the speaker that is speaking. Bless Tom Martinsik Elia, and bless all the equipment. May it function perfectly and work so that the people can view it from home. And bless the all the people in the audience, and bless the people who will sing and praise you. And thank you for everything you've done for us. And thank you for this feast. It's been a wonderful time of fellowship, of rejoicing, and of learning. And we're so appreciative of it. Any of the people that have to leave early today or in the next day or so, we ask you to keep them safe and get them home to their destination safely, and bless their vehicles so that they are mechanically sound and get home safely, and put your messengers around their vehicles and keep them safe. And be with us today as we worship. Thank you so much, Father. In your Son's name, Yahushua, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, Mike, podium mic, guitar mic, good mic, girls mic, and then Mike Comfort. When the Spirit of Yahweh is in my heart, I will sing as David said. When the Spirit of Yahweh is in my heart, I will sing as David said. I will sing. I will sing as David sang. I will sing as David sang. When the Spirit of Yahweh said 23. Teach me Yahweh to wait down on my knees, and in your good time you'll answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk.
humble my pride and call on your name. Give my strength renewed, my eyes on you. Let me be on this earth what you want me to be. May the way upon Yahweh shall renew.
Number 70. Revelation 4:11. Songbook.
Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and His righteousness. Yeah. shall I live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
and then I heard 71. All right, sharpen your Hebrew. Oh, well, okay. It's a fun song, though, isn't it? Why don't we do 71 first, and then we'll do 99. 71, wasn't it? Okay. Now we'll sing, is it 102 or 99? It's based on Zephaniah chapter 3, 14? Anyway, one of those. Specials. Yeah, I think that's four. Number four in the songbook. Or number 100 in your Bible.
Joyful unto Yahweh, all ye lands. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that Yahweh is El. It is He who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His holy name. For Yahweh is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth is truth. Of all generations, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Yahweh. Yahweh, all ye lands. Serve Yahweh, Yahweh with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that Yahweh is El. It is He who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His holy name. For Yahweh, Yahweh is good, His mercy is everlasting.
Have any specials? All right. Yeah.
Special? You need a guitar or anything? Or you have something?
All right, we have one. We have a special here, and what's the name of the song? Grand Yankee Nine. Okay.
We're going to do Awake, O Israel.
Make you free for
Share specials. Two. Share a couple songs. We can keep it to two songs so that we can have time for study today. Anyone else? Okay. Sheila has one. Hallelujah.
Well, actually, I've been practicing this guitar, but I wasn't ready to play guitar. I might out of the tune. So I'm just going to sing. Praise Yahweh, Shalom. I love this song because one of my friends, she composed this song. And this is my mom's favorite song. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart, I just borrow. They might not at all. Yahweh, let me use them to brighten up my light. So reminds me there, Yah. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So reminds me, Yahweh. Nothing good I have done to deserve Yah's own hand. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hand. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loves me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then.
Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So reminds me, Yahweh. Hallelujah.
I don't know if any of you are interested, but there's this place here I wanted to share with you. It's right down out here if you go down the trail. So I'm going to show you what it looks like on this video I took the other day. I was thinking maybe, I don't know if it's tomorrow or the next day, but sometime, you know, maybe around 10:30 or 11 in the morning, if anybody's interested, maybe we can go down there and do a fire down there. I'll show you what it looks like on this video here.
Shalom, we are in the middle of the woods near the campsite. And it is the fourth day according to Israel Sighting Sukkot, 2011. Things around the world. Looks like a good place to come out and praise Yahweh. We have what looks like a circle of rock seatings here, kind of half circle of seatings. And then a fire pit in the middle. And the only thing out here is the woods. Did you hear that? Absolutely nothing. It's a lot different from a city where you can never get peace and silence.
Thinking maybe not today because it's all wet outside, but you know, maybe in the morning tomorrow or the next day. I don't know if anybody's interested. Maybe we can go down there. It's really just 2 minutes down the hill that way, right next to here. And it looks like as long as it's not rainy or something, and if we built a fire down there, it looked like it'd be a good place to maybe praise Yahweh for a few hours before the meeting, because I know sometimes we want to sing a lot more. And we saw that yesterday because we went the whole time, I think a whole hour extra. So, anyhow, I just thought I'd share that so you guys could see what it looks like down there, because I thought it would be a good place if anybody's interested in that. So, if you are, let me know after the meeting.
Praise Yahweh. Sounds good to me. Tomorrow morning, 10:30. Does that work? All right. Today, I want to talk about something that is applicable to everybody here, and I'm hoping will be of high interest. It has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles, but also about carrying this Feast of Tabernacles message to the whole world. You know, we all come together this time of year and enjoy that tranquility, that fellowship, that interaction with believers. I was sharing this morning about how blessed I was by the men's meeting this year, and hearing the different ways that brothers have been able to overcome some of the most powerful addictions And just hearing the victories was a real source of encouragement to me and to a lot of people. And if I didn't have to go to sleep, I could have gone until the following day, I think, for me. When we're willing to be real, when we're really willing to be, if you go to a church every week, for a couple hours, 3 hours, and there's not enough time there to really get to know each other. I mean, but when you live together for a week, and sometimes longer than a week, because some of you are staying through the weekend, we really get a chance to spend some quality time together. And I really want to say, it's awesome that we can all have our little campfires, where we hang out. And I wonder if Yahweh sent this rain for a reason, this cold weather for a reason. We've had our nice time around the fire and fellowship in little groups, little segments of all of Yahweh's people, but I don't know about you. How do you feel about this? It's like one thing's missing. And that is all of us gather in a room and just read Scripture. Pose questions. Get interaction between believers. And learn from each other. How many of you feel that way? I think there's a lot of us that do. And so I would encourage all of us as we, this cooler weather comes, maybe we can gather in the Iron Stake or here and just go through some Torah or something in the New Testament or whatever, and Midrash together. I know I would enjoy that. I want to try to make today's study topic more like that. I like to get feedback and hear from everybody their thoughts as I'm sharing what I'm going to share. And hopefully we can all benefit even more. I want to kick it off by saying that how many of us wish we could do more in our local communities where we are? We kind of, like, we want to do something, but we're not sure what, and we don't know how to talk to people or what to say, and it's like, for some people, it's like it's on the tip of our tongue, but we don't quite, lack the boldness, maybe? Maybe that's one thing we can pray for is boldness. When the disciples gathered together in Acts, they had to pray for that. They had the Ruach HaKodesh. They just didn't know how to use it. Didn't know how to make it to where they could be bold and not be afraid of what anybody would say. And they're going to need it, because it was basically on the threat of death that they said anything about Yahshua. And here we are. The only threat is bigger man, really. None of us are probably going to have to die because we share the word. Maybe persecution can get to that level where someone would, who's terribly wicked, would want to murder us or something. But I just think that sometimes we're so busy in our own lives and our routines. At 6 o'clock I do this, 7 o'clock I do that, 8 o'clock I do that. Some of you, that means sleep all those hours, but saying that we all have our routine that we get into. A lot of us have children, families that take up a lot of our time, and I'm not knocking that at all. Their work schedules, and things along those lines. You know, I would like to do more locally in my community. And for some reason, it's a whole lot easier for me to get in front of a camera than it is, you know, talk to someone at Walmart. I don't know what it is. I'm a little bit more of a shy person than you might think I am. But I realized a few years ago, a motivating vision. And sometimes all it takes is a vision. And we'll get up off of our seats and we don't care what, we'll just go do something. It's kind of funny. There was a newspaper, and it was a foreign country. I don't know what country it was. There was this newspaper ad that said, "Attention men, we're looking for men of courage, men who can endure the coldest of cold weather, the harshest of conditions, with the most intense physical training, with the most challenging mentally, physically, emotionally program there is on the face of the planet. But when you're completed, you will be among the elite, the best of the best." Now, how many people do you think answered that ad versus an ad that said, "Come join the army"? It turned out there was like 1,000 men that all kind of, yeah, you know. And it's kind of funny how, for a perishable crown, the things that men will do. For honors in this age, what men will do. There is a National Football League player named Emmett Smith. Somebody asked him the question, "What does it take to be the NFL rushing champion of the world?" And he said, "Everything you've got." For a perishable crown of playing a game of football, men will give everything they've got. And I kind of wonder about this. Can we get a vision for a crown that will not perish? It says, "Those who are wise will shine like the firmament, as the stars of heaven forever. And those who turn many to righteousness." So our goal, the main reason we exist right now, the only reason why Yahushua hasn't returned, is because he's waiting for more people to get saved. So who's he really waiting on? Is he waiting on just some lightning bolt out of heaven to come and tell people, "You must be saved"? No, he's waiting on us. And you know what? We who keep the feasts understand the kingdom. We who understand the Torah understand the kingdom. And in fact, we're one of the few who do. You know, when the kingdom comes, we talked about it this week. Oh, the whole world keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Right? How many people know that? Very few. They don't teach that in Sunday school. How many people know that from one Sabbath to another, one new moon to another, all flesh will come and worship before Yahweh? Yeah. How many people know that for out of Zion shall go forth the law? You know? And it says, "Come and let us go up into the mountain of Yahweh. He will teach us of His ways. We will walk in His paths. For the Torah shall go forth, the word of Yahweh shall go forth out of Zion." and the Torah from Jerusalem. So, I would say, you know, to whom much is given, much is required, right? So, since that's true, have we not been given much? Will not much be required of us? Why are teachers given stricter judgment? Because they know more. They're the ones teaching. Or at least, they know more and they teach to others, therefore they're doubly responsible. Right? And so, they're teaching. And so we are all basically, as far as I'm concerned, as one place says, for by now you guys ought to be teachers. A lot of us. And so, one of the central things that Yahshua taught us was, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them what? To be a convert? To observe all things that I've commanded. So that is a mission that each one of us has a responsibility to participate in. Does that mean that every one of us will be in the actual teaching role? No. We all have unique gifts. If someone was a prophet, which I'm not a prophet, but say someone was a prophet, and a prophet went forth, Yahshua said, whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Why? Because he's participating in the work. Anyone who participates in the work of the kingdom will receive that reward. For instance, if Yahweh would enable me to endure to the end so that I would be saved, and that the things I taught were from the scriptures and true, and I lived them, my wife might not be behind a microphone, but in any way she supports me, she gets the blessing that I get. And she don't have to worry about, you know, the teaching part of it. And all the responsibilities that kick in with that. And so, she's actually in a better position to be rewarded and to be greater than me in the age to come. Because I have to worry about the judgment, the stricter judgment. She doesn't. So, if she's supporting me, then, or anyone who's supporting a wife supporting a husband, or a congregation supporting the elder of the congregation, or whatever, they receive the reward for supporting that, whatever it is. I'm not talking about, okay, get your pocketbooks out. Although maybe that's a little tiny part of it. What I'm really talking about is in any way to serve. And since I've been here, there are certain brethren that I know I can count on to help make this happen. You know, and that's how any ministry is. There's certain brethren that Yahweh calls to help and to assist and to be a support. And I believe that if I get any reward in the age to come for any work that I do, those that supported me will get that too. And so even if you're not in a teaching role, specifically the teachers or whatever, that doesn't mean that you're without reward. In fact, those who are first will be last, and last first. You're probably in a better position than I am, if you're in a supportive role. So I'm sticking my neck out, and when I first read that scripture, I said, well, I don't want to be a teacher. But I don't know, Yahweh had other ideas, I suppose. But I want to say this, that our work in this kind of a field ties in with why we were created and what we were created to do. In Genesis 1:26, Yahweh said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim he created him. Male and female he created them. Then Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. And so Yahweh's purpose in creating Adam was that he would be in dominion over the earth, but under subjection to Yahweh, ultimately being the king, right? That's what the coming kingdom is about. Bringing this earth back under subjection to Yahweh, will be kings and priests and rulers, right? That's our original, that was Yahweh's original plan. And so, think about this. This earth was created to be a place of our own personal stewardship and dominion, and bringing this earth in subjection to the King of Kings. And notice that both male and female were given this vision. So what I want to do, I want to ask the question here publicly and pass the mic around. What are some things that we can be doing as Yahweh's people? Because if we look around us, we know this earth is not under dominion to the King of Kings. And we know one day that it will be. Okay? And we want to bring as many souls as we can into subjection to the King of Kings. And by that, be fulfilling our original created purpose on the earth. So Yahshua restored us to the image of Elohim that we are created to be, and to that role of taking dominion over the earth when he said, go therefore. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And since he gave us that mission, that mission matches up exactly with what Yahweh created us to be in Genesis 1. And so when we look around us today and we see some area that is under the dominion of Yahweh's enemy, it should bother us. We should say, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But it's too commonplace. We become desensitized to it. And we say, well, that's just the world. The world's going to do this. And then we complain about it, and then we do nothing about it. But I think am I hearing things here that's contrary to the spirit of Yahweh when I hear Yahshua basically telling us, go do something about it? I think we're supposed to do something about it. Yes, that's going to take boldness. Yahweh can give us that. Maybe we need to pray for it, like they did. So what I'd like to do is kind of pass the mic around and get some thoughts. Different areas of this world, the problems that exist, the areas that are under the influence or dominion of Yahweh's enemy and need to be taken back for the kingdom of Yahweh. I'll give an example. The womb. The womb. The place, the most precious, protected place on the planet. The place where a newborn child should come into this world filled with warmth and comfort and love is the very place that only one out of three children who are conceived are murdered in that safe place, supposedly. How about you? Does that bother you? It bothers me. And that's an example. It's probably the most dangerous place to live in the world is inside mommy. You could probably walk through the streets in Detroit and at least 2 out of 3 will come out alive. So, it's probably more dangerous inside mommy than it is the streets of Detroit, or the streets of Memphis. Ever thought about that? And so, somehow, last summer, I'm on a ministry trip. I don't know if you heard the story or not, but we stood in front of the abortion clinic in New Orleans, and it was totally Yahweh-led, because we held up signs, and rather than saying, "You bad women, you should stop doing this," we gave an option. We said, "We'll raise your baby until you can. And when you're ready to take the baby back, we'll give you the baby back. No strings attached." At least the child's soul is saved. At least the child is not dead. It might be hard on us to give the baby back, but at least the baby's alive. And the woman at the abortion clinic come out. She's a counselor woman. She says, "You guys really do that? You would give the baby back if she wanted it? You wouldn't take it for adoption? You would just take guardianship and then give guardianship and give it back to his mother whenever she..." I said, "Yeah." "Well, you have people in line that were willing to do that?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Let me get your phone numbers. There may be some women interested in that option." Isn't that amazing? With a murderer, even their heart was softened. And then this so happened, they were laying wet cement that day in front of the clinic. And I couldn't resist. I wrote, "Choose life." Couldn't resist. It was perfect timing. And, what other day would they be pouring wet cement in front of an abortion clinic? But the day that we were there, I said, "I don't know if this is wrong or not. I don't know if it's against the law, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do." So, they arrested me for it. I would say, "Oh, that's persecution." Anyway, what are some areas? I mentioned one. What do you think, Yosef?
Write them off. And you can really take any conversation and point it back to eternal good if you talk to someone long enough. I think we should take seriously the command to go into all the world and make disciples of everyone everywhere. And certain people will show their interest by responding. And those people, give them DVDs, give them things that are printed out, things that are written. Get their phone numbers, talk to them. Get them to come and listen to the meetings, lessons. We can learn a lesson from what other groups do that make disciples, that don't know about the restoration of all things. There are other groups that are very, we can see the things that some of them do that work.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why in the Assembly of God, they train you to always be on the lookout for someone that you can bring to church. And then once you get them there, don't worry, then we'll bring them. Another thing, we should remember how were we reached? We can do for other people, unbelievers, half-believers, the same way what was done for us.
Mm-hmm.
And not just think that, well, if Yahweh wants to say, they're going to be saved. No, nobody's, you know. I don't know. It's kind of, if you just see people as potential receiving the truth and just give them whatever, and get to know them a little bit, and different people need a little different thing. Some people just need to be loved on. And you know, it's okay to love on people who are never going to believe. It's okay to do good, and we don't have to always just. But that doesn't mean to let them influence you. I think that we should notice the last things the Messiah said before he left. He gave a commission to everyone to go into all the world and make disciples of everyone everywhere. And it's like in three Gospels, the Book of Acts, chapter 1. And there are some groups that take this very seriously. They train, and they're very successful. Because that's a priority for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they do all sorts of things. They get on the radio, the TV. They mail out tracts. They send out tracts. But I think their own studies have shown that it's the co-worker at work. When they actually ask people in their group, how did you come to believe in? Oftentimes it was a co-worker or a close family friend who got saved and then just wouldn't let up, had the guts to challenge them a bit. And sometimes if you know someone, it's easier to, and I don't mean know them too well, as a close family member, but the people that you know well enough that you can talk for real and people are not going to get all offended.
Yeah.
But simply making that something that you're looking for, always looking for someone who might be interested. And one of the things you can do is like let's say at work, if you hang up scriptures around your computer, you don't really have to go to people. They're going to come to you, and they're going to ask you questions. But you can't get discouraged when they don't suddenly convert to all the truth. Sometimes it takes a long time. First of all, they want to see. They need to test all things.
Yeah.
And there's just many, many things we can do. The cults won't go good. They go door to door. Well, sometimes they come across people who are interested in eternal things. And they have the nerve to go. Although it's very nerve-wracking going door to door. I've done it. But you do come across. You do find people that way. Sometimes it's, and that's just one of many things you can do.
Yeah.
Music I find is very good. Giving music to people, CDs, and that, like, the people who respond to that are people who already have a little bit of faith. Some people already have a little bit of faith, and they're just waiting for more.
I wanted to mention, touch on something you said, and it's okay to love on people who will never believe. Sometimes we give up on people before Yahweh gives up on them. You know, as long as their heart beats, there's still a chance. And you can imagine this for a minute. For every good work, there's a reward in the age to come. So imagine Yahweh is in heaven as you're going through your day, and he's writing down the blessings that he's wanting to give you as a result of the love that you've given. He says if you're faithful in a few things, you'll be given rule over many things. So I think Yahshua, he loved us before we loved him, right? He sowed in faith. And we also can sow in faith. You know, I just love that, what you just said, because I think that even if we sow that seed in someone's heart and they never receive it, or we show an act of kindness to someone and they never remember it, we have an Elohim in heaven who does. And not to be, you know, self-focused. We want to be, I'm only going to do this because I get rewarded. But we need to understand the mind of Elohim, that anytime we love and give an opportunity to show love, that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and that's what we are really created to do. That's our original created purpose. Brother Jonathan.
They're on their way out. It'd be, you know, it's like you'd have to say, wow, who are probably the ones that are most in need of someone to talk to them? Because they're ready to depart for this next life. They don't have much time left. And they're the ones that get ignored the most. Isn't that something else? How the enemy's got them hidden away in some little home somewhere where nobody can talk to them, no one will go to them until they die. Isn't that something else? How the enemy has set things up, because people won't honor their parents, they stick them in that home and no one even thinks to go over there and talk to them. And I'll tell you what, they've got wisdom. A lot of them got a lot of wisdom, and we probably would learn a lot just by listening to their life stories. We might get more blessed than we're able to give. You know, and I'll tell you what, another thing, I don't know about you guys, there's something called the last great generation. People that are in their 70s and 80s and 90s, we need their advice. We've gone way, way off base. People are just don't have any dignity anymore. There's some old-fashioned principles that people used to live by that we've lost. And it's because we don't honor our elders. And we just don't. We don't honor them anymore. So we have a culture that glorifies the youth. Everything's about being young and young and young and free. And Yahweh says, honor the hoary head. Honor the silver-haired man. Rise in the presence of the age. I feel like I've lost what that means. And I need older people. Arthur. And Dwight. I need people to show me what that means. And visiting a nursing home. And talking to some of those people. I think I end up being more blessed than maybe they would. I don't know. But we realize that they're on their last throes. And even if their mind isn't completely there, I bet Yahweh would probably honor to the extent that they're able to accept what you're saying. And meaning right where they're at. Anybody else? Yeah, Hannah?
I just want to dovetail on that a little bit. As far as honoring your parents, it's not fashionable anymore to keep them in the home with you. It's more fashionable to stick them in a nursing home. And it's not me. It's Yahweh all the way. And if you knew me, you would know that's the last thing that I would do on my own. But Yahweh blessed me this last year in allowing me to make it possible for my mom to come out of the nursing home. And one of the things that blew me away was the lady at the home, we asked her, well, judging, my mom has Alzheimer's, and we said, judging by the condition she's in, if this were your mom, what would you do? And she teared up and she said, I would take her home. And then we found out later, that lady, in all the years she'd been head of that nursing home, had never had anyone ask her that before. And our culture is so geared toward, you know, when they get to a certain age or they're not able to care for themselves, stick them in a home. And I've been so blessed by what Yahweh has helped me to do, and I've had a lot of people praise me, and too many times I've let the praise come to me, and I want to change that, and I want to give that glory to Yahweh. But I also think that can be an example and a ministry to show others what Yahweh is doing in our lives if we honor our parents.
Hallelujah. Good word. Hannah told me just a couple hours ago how they do it. She has five brothers and sisters? Six? And five of them are on shifts. They're on shifts taking care of their mom. And so many hours, you know, for each sibling. And isn't that special? Isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. It's glorious. Brother Ben?
Yes, sir. We've recently started to ask ourselves these questions, too. Like, what can we do? You know, we have small children, and it consumes a lot of time, especially for my wife. So I encourage everybody, something we've done recently is we have gone to Planned Parenthood. There is one, you know, in our town. And we take the children, we go out there, we pray, and we sing psalms, and we sing songs, and, you know, just, and we haven't made a lot of signs, so when we get back from the feast, we're going to make signs and go out there, too. So that's a good place to start. It has been for us. We thought about, you know, we need to get the kids to go feed the homeless at the Salvation Army, you know, things like that. We haven't really done that yet. I think about this a lot, like, what can I do? Because I was so lost, and I really needed people to witness to me. I didn't know that at the time, but that's what I needed. So I think about this a lot. And so one thing I try to do is I want to carry myself and us as believers, now that Yahshua lives inside of us, if we carry ourselves as Yahshua would, and this is really hard to do in the world, but if you try and you just pray about it a lot, just have Yahshua just shine his light and reflect it out to the world. So that, and if it's someone you see a couple times a week or every day, they'll see him living inside you and they'll notice the difference. And I still work with all the same people. And I heard through the grapevine the other day, people have been asking about me now because it's been over a year that I've intentionally changed my life. And one guy that I used to hang around with, but I don't talk to him every day now, he said that he told my friend that he's my boss now, that I talk different and that I don't even sound like the same person. And of course, my friend, he laughs this off, and I don't think about those things. But when I hear that, I'm like, I wonder if I do talk different now. I hopefully I do talk differently. But if we carry ourselves, maybe, you know, it will bring people to realize that he has something that I need. He has something that I long for inside him, and I want what he's got. And I think that would be one way to witness to people. And just real quick, another thing, I'm out in the world all day, every day. I don't sit in an office or a cubicle, and I see, man, hundreds and hundreds of people every day. The youth, not to ever forget about, you know, the elderly, but I see a lot of youth in my profession, and especially the young boys. I'm really scared that the way that Satan has flipped Yahweh's world, the boys are becoming more feminized. I don't know if you guys see that. They're not like the boys that I grew up with and the ones that we looked up to. And of course, you know, anyone in their 40s, I'm sure you guys were way stronger and way more men than we were. But now, I mean, they look like almost like girls. And I can't see them growing into manhood. It's almost as Satan wants to keep them as like man-childs, and they'll never be able to be a father to their children, and they'll never be a husband to their wife. And so then it gets back to that scripture where you're going to have spiritual widows and spiritual orphans. And we have that a lot now in my generation because of addictions, but it's almost like he's not even going to use the alcohol and the drugs anymore. He's going to use the media and the video games and the cell phones and the social networking sites to just dumb down these kids, these boys. And it's just like, how long is it going to take them to become men now? Because, you know, between just trying to get out of that, it's just going to be decades longer for them to become men. You know, it's taken me till I was like, you know, my late 20s, 30s to become a man. They're going to be in their 40s, and this is just going to, I just see this keep getting worse. So I don't know how to fix that. But that's been on my heart. Thank you.
Thank you. A very, very powerful point, you know, because it won't be long before they don't know how to be men anymore. I mean, we're already getting there with, you know, the Woody Allen, you know, men. You know, there's only no backbone. No, just all about fun and games and no real strength. And so women will rule over them. And children will rule over them. Just like Scripture says, to throw everything into perversion. And we can do things about that. I mean, what you said about bringing your family in front of that abortion clinic, when we did that in New Orleans, and we had one very large family, and all these children, you know, that was a witness. That was a witness. The children are a blessing. They are a blessing. And they're not problems. You know, they're not this inconvenience that you need to get rid of. But that we can have happy families. And I've wondered about going door to door, you know. It's one thing to slam the door in front of some lone stranger standing there, but, you know, much of little children there, all respectful and quiet. I kind of wonder how that would be, if it would be any different. You know. But, Mother Michael.
Just one thing that came to mind about the abortion clinic. If you do a research on Planned Parenthood, and you realize what the original intention of that was, you'd be shocked. And if you just take a look at the neighborhoods that the Planned Parenthood is in, then you'll realize what I'm talking about. They're always in the poor section of town where the minorities exist. And I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently enough, but you can do your own research on it.
Margaret Singer, who founded Planned Parenthood, she believed that in Darwinism, and that there's favored races, and the races that were, you know, less desirable, and she was a racist, you know. She would say to the blacks, you know, put these things in black neighborhoods, and they'll help eliminate the problem, you know. Because, and the whole idea is survival of the fittest. If the weak are eliminated, then the human race will be strong. That was the theology behind it. And in fact, if you look at the other title of Darwin's book, Origin of Species, it says something about the favored races. Is that, you ever looked that up? Something about favored races. And so that's totally opposite to the way Yahweh thinks. Because in his mind, the most fit of all died for the unfit, which is just totally contrary to Darwinism and, you know, this Margaret Singer. But you're right. I mean, it has wicked roots, and that's a very good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
One other thing I wanted to mention is a good brother down in Texas sent me a link to a website of a prison ministry called. It was Sabbath Keepers Prison Ministry. And these are prisoners who have already come to the belief that we have, But they would like people to write to them, and they could probably use some of the materials that we use. And that prison ministry also, they send them, they've been sending them like the scriptures. I'm sure they could use maybe money to get the Hallelujah scriptures. If you're interested, just give me your email and I can send you the link.
There is a huge demand for people to write to prisoners and send Bibles and study materials to prisoners. Anybody that wants to talk to them, I get them all the time. And so I can give. I was talking to one brother this morning about that very thing, that maybe his ministry is to those in prison, and he seemed to think that direction. And we can start by being pen pals and encouraging them in the walk. And a lot of the men that write me have already come across this. They just want to learn more. And they're sitting there in that prison, and they have nothing better to do than to read scripture. So perfect spot. They're humble. A lot of times, you know, people say, well, you know, jailhouse religion and all that stuff. There's church house religion, too. I mean, people that come to this faith do fall away, whether they're in jail or not in jail. So that doesn't mean we don't try to reach them. I had opportunity to do some local jail ministry. And you'd be surprised that I get a more favorable reaction because I'm not a Christian preacher trying to get their tithe money and get them to come to my church. I'm just there to help any way I can, to serve. I did things like help contact people in the outside world and let them know that they love them, and just practical things. And when you start serving, that's exactly what they need, and they need to see. And so when we couple that with just what I like to do is just start reading from Scripture and give them a Cliff Notes version of Genesis or just take them through each book of the Bible. And you'd be surprised how many of the men are at least interested in knowing what the Bible says. They just don't want to sit there and read it. But if you can get them interested and get their curiosity piqued, it's pretty amazing things that can be done. Yeah. I want to read a scripture in light of this. Right after Yahshua gave this parable of the talents, right after he gave the parable of talents, he also gave a look into what that meant with the next thing he said, which was, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, Matthew 25:31, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come you, blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. You know, we may not have, I mean, we do have some homeless, who are you know, in need of things. But I was thinking, you know, the sick is those in nursing homes. And God, and you visited me. And those in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, when did we do this? And on down he says, absurdly I say to you, as much as you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So when we go to these places, we're actually serving Yahshua. We're ministering to him. And if we don't, then we're the goats on the left who didn't do anything with the talents that were given. And be asking the question, well, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, or naked, sick, or in prison, and not minister to you? Certainly, if you didn't do it to least of these, you didn't do it to me. And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is weighty stuff. Yeah. Is that on?
I don't want to get too close, but I notice when people do, it kind of makes them. Yeah, I really can't understand them. I'm having a hard time understanding people anyway because my ears don't pick up sound very well. But anyway, about the prison ministry, Mike over there, he mentioned, you know, the Sabbath Keepers Fellowship prison ministry by Lisa Hoffler and her mother Nancy. They sent out 618 Passover kits, just those two women by themselves, last spring. And a Passover kit, there's quite a bit in it. You know, you have the matzo and the great meats and instructions. Anyway, they know 618 prisoners in 13 different states. And so I bought 50 Bibles and gave it to them, and they just about got them all passed out, she told me a couple of weeks ago. So I'll have to go buy some more. And that's a good thing to do. And to show you what just a little bit of effort can pay off, I visited a prisoner named Dale Whitworth down close to Beeville, Texas. That's down close across the street. There's several prisons down in that area near Beeville. But when I visited him, you could sit down at the table like that, and you could share literature. Yeah, I give him huge amounts of literature because I visited him several times. And the effort really paid off. He has now has about 150 of the prisoners in that prison where he's at meeting with him every Sabbath.
Hallelujah.
So that was worth my time and effort.
No doubt.
And it's because I remembered. I kept reading there in Matthew where I was in prison and you visited me. Now, you know, I didn't want him to be able to say that to me. But yeah. Dale Whitworth killed a man for stealing his wife. You know, and I don't blame him. And used to, that was okay to do that in Texas. You know, they didn't put you in jail for that. They might pat you on the back. But it's not that way today. They throw you in jail. So he's been in there. I think he's due for parole in 2012, and I sure hope he makes it. If he made up such an effect as he did in the prison, think what he could do out here.
Yeah.
He's a good leader. Mm-hmm. Sure is. But also, I wanted to relate a story of faith by a person that a lot of us have read some of his articles. His name is Larry Atchison from Plano, Texas. And I have some articles by him because he is a great researcher. And his calling seems to be that he's trying to help people understand how important the Father's name Yahweh is. And can we stress that too much? No way. We cannot stress that too much. And that seems to be his calling. So I have one great article by him that I hope I could get in the hands of everybody in the campground so they can see it. I think it's the very best one he ever put together, and it's a short one. It's only 9 pages.
So anybody can read that much. Most of the articles he writes are a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
But I chose this one because it's hardest hitting, and I hope everybody can get a copy. But Larry, I'll tell you about Larry. He used to have a beautiful corn farm. He was the oldest boy in the family, and mm-hmm. he had one brother and one sister. But his little brother was 11 years younger than him. But because Larry accepted the Sabbath one day, you know, and he kind of learned it on his own, well, it made his mom and daddy so mad, they just kicked him out. And he was the one who was in charge of that farm, you know, all for years. And he was going to be the one who got the farm, mostly. But, you know, they made Larry get up and leave and gave the farm to the younger boy, who was 11 years younger than him, over the Sabbath day. And so Larry wound up, instead of being in the state of Illinois on a huge corn farm, it's probably worth at least $500,000. Mm-hmm. And I've saw the pictures of it. It's very beautiful. And but don't belong to Larry, belong to his little brother. And well, here's the real thing. Larry had to move to Texas, and he taught Spanish, English, and French in the high school level for a while. And then not doing that now. He's working with somebody else. But he's still doing a lot of good research. But concerning the Father's name, I think one of my goals in life, since I learned the Father's name, has been to help people know the Father's name and to not give his glory to any other. Because Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, "My name is Yahweh, and my glory will I not give to another." So we can't give some other word glory that actually belongs to the Almighty Yahweh. So we need to keep that in mind, and that's what this article I have is all about. It's the nine mm-hmm. pages. It's not too much to ask somebody to read that. And here's what happened that to Larry's benefit. His daddy's getting real old. And so his little brother put his daddy in the nursing home. And his daddy's in his 80s now. But Yahweh worked a real miracle here. When his daddy got in the nursing home, they put him in the room with the Seventh-day Adventist. Preacher.
Really?
He was a retired Seventh-day Adventist preacher. And so the next time, Larry told me, he said, "You know, I went up there to see my daddy, and guess what happened? A retired Seventh-day Adventist preacher was in the same room with him. You know, they both had to be with each other, and now his daddy's preaching him about the Sabbath." So Yahweh works things, and so it shows you an example of faith. Yahweh kind of gives us sometime we have to move on for the sake of peace.
Yeah.
And that's what Larry did. But Yahweh, it seems to be kind of working it out. What Larry couldn't do with his daddy, Yahweh's working through someone else to help his daddy see the Sabbath day. But his mother is already dead, so mm-hmm. too late for her. But anyway, I thought that was a pretty good thing happened to Larry myself, and so he's tickled about that. And Yahweh bless everybody.
Thank you, brother. We're gonna get Ron we'll do two more, and then I need to close out because I think some people need to fix dinner, and I'll say a few words. And okay.
Hopefully everyone's up. This is a serious topic.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about praising our Heavenly Father through our works and our life. True worship is a lifestyle. I'd like to read a couple of scriptures. Actually, I'm inspired by brother or elder author over here. So I'd like to please excuse my voice.
Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Now you don't need a whole lot, just use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. So we know about joy and we know about love. So when we talk about places like the elderly homes or jails or even orphanages, that's something that I didn't hear mentioned, but orphanages, when I go overseas, when just a foreign person comes in and shows some love, the children's smiles are from ear to ear. And you leave with a blessing. They're blessed. You're blessed. If you have any type of stories or little anything that'll make them laugh and feel good about themselves, that somebody does care, that's another place. So all of those places are good. But I'd like to read some scripture so we can... Well, first, how many believe that the scriptures are true? All right, if they're true and we trust our Heavenly Father with what's in there written to us for a guide because of His love, we should be striving to do what's in there. And I'll read. We all know about Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. That deals with the law. That's something we use as a witness to say, hey, look, the Messiah, He didn't come to do away with it. He came to fulfill. The word fulfill there can also mean fully preach. So, you know, when you look at the word. But the bottom line is, He actually says that when we teach His commandments, those shall be great in heaven. The ones that teach against them, you know, they're not going to be, He doesn't look so good on that. Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 13, that we are the salt of the earth. A lot of people haven't really looked at that, but it goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? If it is therefore good for nothing, but is cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. We don't want to be looked at in that category. It goes on to say, you are the light of the world. And that light is the Messiah, our Heavenly Father, is Ruach HaKodesh living in us. It's for a purpose. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp or a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand or a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16 in Matthew chapter 5 is what some we should all clue in on. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let them see your good works so they can glorify your Father who is in heaven. Many people will hear your words and then look at your life and see whether or not you're a hypocrite or not. But your worship's not just singing a song and going about and giving the devil glory. It's a lifestyle. It doesn't, as our Heavenly Father is using Tom Eliah to instruct us, it's not just a couple of hours. It's a serious thing. It's a lifestyle. And it goes on in Scripture when we look, and this will be short. And, well, Paul says it another way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 6. He says, I, Paul, water, Apollos, I plant, Apollos waters, but it's Elohim that brings the increase. And then he goes on to basically say we shouldn't boast. He says that the one who plants and the one who waters, they're the same. But again, it's Elohim that brings the increase. Verse 8 tells us that He rewards us. So, just looking at the verse, it says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own rewarding according to his own labor. But that's coming from our Heavenly Father. And when we look at Scripture, James chapter 5, verse 20, it says, let him know that he who converts a sinner from his error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I haven't been striving every single day to do that. Being on the road and going overseas and coming back, I got burnt out. And I'm being refreshed here.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I'm going back on fire. I'm going back to say, okay, I took a break. But you know what? He never took a break on me. He's been patient with me, and he's been patient with every one of you. And he's been patient with the people out there. Some of them have never heard the names, the sacred names. They've never heard of Torah. All they've heard of is grace. The law is done away with. And are not being taught the truth. So if someone is in your path, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? It's that serious. He who saves a sinner from the error of his ways. This church is on every street corner just about. But they tell you, walk the aisle for love, joy, peace, and happiness. And repeat what I say. If a wife committed adultery, actually if a husband committed adultery against her husband committed adultery against the wife, and he realized he did really wrong, and he wanted to apologize, if he turned around and got someone to hide in the bushes to recite beautiful poetry, yes, for a few moments, the wife might be fooled that it's coming from the person that did wrong. But if the wife saw the bushes move, then that door might slam in the husband's face because it wasn't genuine. When we repent, it's got to be genuine. It can't be just repeat after me and everything's fine. If you don't even believe the words that someone else is saying. Repeat after me and you get love, joy, peace, and happiness. That's what the world preaches. But what happens when you go home and you lose your job, your dog gets hit by a car, your girlfriend and you are fighting, you don't have enough money to pay your bills? Wait a minute, the pastor said I was going to get love, joy, peace, and happiness. Wait a minute, that's not really happening. He lied to me. I'm never going back there again. I'm finished with this whole salvation and everything else. I was better off before. We don't come to Messiah because of love, joy, peace, and happiness. We come to the Messiah because we are dead in our sins. And the rest of the world needs to know that. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. And every person in ministry should be preaching why the Son, our Messiah, our Heavenly Father's Messiah, turns people away. Depart from me, I don't know you, you that work lawlessness. Two verses before, he says, those that get into heaven are the ones that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. He goes on to say, my brother and sister and mother are the ones that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. He calls his family the ones that do the will. Yet the church teaches, don't worry about that. We're under grace. That's for those Jews. That's the Old Testament. We need to educate them. If someone crosses your path and there's opportunity, ask questions. Because they're already convinced. And have the scriptures ready. Or get their phone number and show love. Because that's what they need. That's the character of our Heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And what is 1 John, 1 Yochanan, chapter 2, verse 6? He says, he who abides in the Son should walk
as he walked.
Right?
Yep.
Walk as he walked.
Yep.
He walked in love. Not my will, but thy will be done. And we should be saying the same thing with our lives. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, brother. I'm with you. Praise Yahweh. You know, Satan has come up with substitutes to keep us doing what we're created to do, only in a cheap way. You know, why do we like to watch movies? or read books or play games, or it's all about taking dominion or watching someone take dominion. There's a problem. There's someone trying to figure out how to solve the problem, and at the end, the good guy wins, and everybody's happy. And or if you're playing a game, it's a challenge of dominion. We have an innate, built-in part of us that enjoys taking on challenges and accomplishing goals and taking dominion. We have that built into us. And so it's not bad to play a game, don't get me wrong, but if that's our life, is one thing to another, one substitute to another, and we're not going out and reaching people, which is the real reason we were created in Messiah, we're a new creation in Messiah Yahshua, then we're missing it. And I mean, if we play a game, you win the game, okay? What have you gained? Nothing. You won. But if we start living a life that puts us on a mission, with a preset goal to accomplish, along with challenges and rewards and struggles along the way, I'd say that's far more interesting, wouldn't you? I'd say more entertaining. I'd say more enjoyable and more fulfilling. And so we have a goal, and this goal that Yahshua set in front of us, this mission, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, we've got a long way to go. We've got a long way to go. And we have an important job to do because Yahweh's kingship's been stolen, my brothers. And we need to do some search and recovery. And we can deliver those who are drawn toward death. And in fact, Yahweh said in Proverbs 24:11, he said, deliver those who are drawn toward death. Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Someone says, well, I'm not really an evangelist type, you know. It's just not really what I'm into. Well, are you into love? If you love your fellow man, you won't want to see him go to hell. You don't want to see him go to the lake of fire and be destroyed. So you need to do your part. I once read this saying. It was really good. It said, could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn, and give no hand? Can you sit at ease and see on, with the world around you damned? That's an important question. Do we love? If we sit around and focus on the things of this world with a consume and enjoy mindset, consume and enjoy, we're just taking up the ground. We're not bearing the fruit we need to. And so why would he see any use for us at the end if we're not being of any use now? And so I say, let's go out and be useful. He doesn't need someone fancy with degrees and with all this knowledge. He just wants someone willing to be used. If we're willing to be used, he will use us. And we can take dominion over the earth. And, you know, one issue is a lot of us, we just don't know what we're called to do. We just don't understand our role in the body of Messiah and how Yahweh has called us specifically. What are our gifts? What are our callings? What are the things that Yahweh has given by His Spirit that we can use to reach out to our neighbor and to be a part of the search and recovery mission? We are among the lone carriers of the true kingdom message. I would say we've got a job to do. Because most of the world don't understand what that kingdom is. Even among Christians don't understand. And so tomorrow, I hope you'll join us because I'm going to involve us in an exercise and go over some scripture to help each one of us in this room understand what our calling is, what it is that Yahweh desires of us. I'm not saying you're going to find an answer tomorrow. You might. But what I'm going to share will help you find the answer. So I hope you're here with us. Let's go ahead and close the prayer.
Heavenly Father, Yahweh, great and mighty Elohim, Kadosh, 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 be your great name. Thank you, Father, for this feast. Thank you for the harvest that you have brought, you caused to grow in each one of us, your holy word. We might understand the blessing of your kingdom, the blessing of this Feast of Tabernacles, so that we can truly come together and share notes, so that we can come together and sharpen one another, so that we can come together and work more effectively as a body of Messiah, Father, for your glory, for your glory. Father Yahweh, reveal to each one of us your plan for our life, the gifts that you have given us. Let us not set them in the ground and bury them. Teach us how to use them. To use them in such a way that more talents are brought back to you in the end. And Father, forgive us for our slothfulness, our laziness, and how the world chokes out the cares that you have cared for. It causes us to care for the things that don't even bear fruit, but just bear thorns. Teach us your wisdom. Help us to be responsible with the truth that you've given us. And help us, Father, and teach us to contemplate how we are going to fulfill Yahushua's direct command, that we might turn many to righteousness and shine like the stars forever and be called among the great. We both do and teach your word, your law, which endures forever. Thank you, Father, for your mercies toward us. We're not worthy, Father, to be even carrying your word to anyone. Even so, we manifest your grace, knowing that when others see us, they will see the evidence of your grace. And for that we thank you, Father, and we desire you establish your kingdom in our hearts, that we might help to establish it in the hearts of others. And that, for we know, Father, and we are sure that all glory, all praise, and honor, and worship belong to you. For truly yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, and the majesty, forever and ever. In Yahushua's name. Amen. Hallelujah.